Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let's begin to round off the things we've been saying about the seven attitudes that beget failure and how the wise should be careful to avoid them. We have made a lot of points. I'd just like to review them again for a few seconds. Number one, it is not necessarily what you desire that you will get in life, but what you have prepared your life for by the paths that you choose in life. And we say the way by which you choose your paths in life is by the moral choices you make. And we say we are looking at seven different things that are very important, all right, that we avoid if we don't want our lives to end up in failure. It is not desire that matters, but the choices, if they are good or they are bad. So we are talking about seven different things. We talk about the matter of fear. A man who wants to succeed in life shouldn't be a coward, all right? He should be a person, all right, that's bold, ready to receive great things, because no good things really come as easy as we'll have loved them to come. We have to take the challenge in life, all right, and face life very squarely. And I've said, while we are doing this, we must never allow pride, all right, be part of our system, being very arrogant, thinking you are better than other people. If you are a proud man, then you are getting ready for failure, because even the Englishman has said it, pride goes before a fall. All right, and then we say you must have principles. A man who you see always forsaking principles, just doing things as each moment deserves, without having solid structures upon which his life is built, is a man, again, who is preparing for failure. Also, a man who tells lies, always trying to exaggerate, trying to give an impression, especially trying to project himself to be something that he really is not, that's another failure that's in the making. We said greed, again, and covetousness. You're not the only one in life. You're not the only one, like I always say, that God wants to bless. You should be ready to let some things go towards other people. And that's why Jesus warned very squarely. A man came to him and said, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. And he said, listen, whether they share the inheritance with you or not, your life would not necessarily improve or refuse to improve based upon that. That is what really makes your life improve, is more than the material things that come into your hands. I was discussing that last time. Those material things, listen to this. I want to just chip this one in before we go on to the next point that we're supposed to be discussing today. Those material things, actually, they are the tests that God gives us in life. How you handle material things is a crucial test that God gives to you in life. Let me say one more time. How you handle money and material substances is a crucial test that God uses to decide what your life is going to be like. There was a way Jesus said it. I would like to quote that before I leave that matter and go on into something else. Now, you'll find this in the book of Luke chapter 16. In verse 10, he says, unless you are faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. If you cheat even a little, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. This is the New Living Translation. And he said, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? If you are not faithful with other people's money, why should you be trusted with money of your own? That is, why should God give you money? Now, listen to what I want to say from there. Now, let me say one more time. It is how you handle money matters that God uses to judge what your life should be like. Now, that's why it's so crucial. Money was not given, all right, primarily to you, for you to hold and just enjoy. It is actually a test. If you go and read Luke chapter 19, you see the parable of the minas, that is the Lord that went out, and as he was going out to go and receive a kingdom for himself, he gave money to his servants. And it was, now notice this, when he came back, having received the kingdom, and he wanted to choose rulers for the cities within the kingdom, what he did before he left was to leave money with his servants, and he used that to judge their ability to handle kingdoms. Listen to this. Money is very crucial in life. How you handle it, I don't mean having plenty of it. From this context we just read from this book of Luke, chapter 16, Jesus said that, look, sometimes what you have is little, but it tells us how you will handle plenty. He said, what you have is money, but it tells us how you will handle greater responsibilities. That is, when you give to Joseph money, how he handled money in the house of Potiphar tells God ahead of time how he's going to handle the office, all right, as a ruler. That's why it's so important that you're not a covetous person. Because what you are saying, if you're a covetous man, you are saying to God that, don't give me blessings in life, I will not know how to handle it. Don't give me spiritual responsibilities. Don't give me political responsibilities. Don't give me great responsibilities in life because I will not know how to handle it. Listen to me. Let me say it one more time. You are not the only person in life that God wants to bless. So always be eager. Be ready to let things flow towards other people. God has called you, if you are really a blessed person, to be a blessing. When God spoke to Abraham, he said, I will bless you, you will be a blessing. The man who is always trying to grab for himself alone is a cursed man, is not a blessed man. Do you follow the point I'm making? When you see other people prospering, you want the thing that they have. You want it. It's called covetousness. In fact, there was a commandment given to the children of Israel against it. You must not covet your neighbor's goods. Listen to me. God wants everybody blessed. Therefore, if you find that you're always reaching out, trying to grab more, more, more for yourself, when you know that people around you don't even have enough, you have, but you want to have much more than them, it gives you a sense of worth in your satanic mind. Do you get my point? Then know that eventually it is poverty and failure that you are going to experience. So he said it like this. He said, a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty is what is going to come upon him. Do you understand that point? So these are the points we have made. Now we have two more points to go on in these, our seven things that we are discussing. And remember what I said, these are not the only seven things. These are just the seven that the Holy Spirit has impressed upon my heart to speak about at this particular point in time. There are little things like a matter of laziness, okay? Honoring the people who are in authority over you. These are things that we have not discussed in this particular context, but I've just chosen these seven things because I believe they are very crucial at this particular point in time. I'm warning people, avoid them. I said before, if you're a young man, you're a young woman, I'm specifically targeting my message in this season towards you. Avoid these things, okay? Don't do them, and by making those relevant choices, you are leading yourself on the path towards victory. You are leading yourself on the path towards success. Let me say this before I go into the next, the other two things, so that we can try and round this whole thing up. Listen, there's a word I want to quickly explain, the word temptation. Why that thing is called temptation, which we all know by common knowledge, that it's a drawing towards evil. Is a drawing and it's an attraction towards doing that which is not right. Why it is called temptation is because it is tempting. That is, there's a drawing, there's an attraction. Something is pulling you. And usually what pulls us most of the time is that immediate gratification. I like the way Mike Murdock says it. He said, maturity is the ability to delay gratification. That a champion knows how to delay gratification. A man who will be victorious in life knows how to delay gratification. What is temptation? Temptation is that immediate gratification which is appealing to the flesh. Do you follow my point? I'm trying to bring out something here. The things that are wrong in life are tempting. The things that are right, sometimes, they have to be the opposite of tempting. Otherwise, everybody will be doing them. The things that are really right, that's why instruction is the thing you need. I'm so grateful to God for your life that you have taken time out to tune in for this broadcast, especially that you've been tuning in regularly and not only listening to me, but listening to other men of God who are teaching you the ways of righteousness. All right? Not only listening to messages, but reading books in which the fear of God is being taught, because natural things that are evil are tempting. It wouldn't have been called temptation if it was not tempting. Do you follow my point? So listen to me. If we are saying don't do this, when you go out tomorrow having heard this word, you will discover that what we say you shouldn't do will be the natural thing that your body wants to do. That's why I should quickly chip this one in. Don't forget the power of prayer. Don't forget the power of the blood of Jesus. Don't forget the power of the mercy of God. What you do when you have discovered that, listen, Pastor Banky said, don't tell lies. But you have lied all your life. You have gotten many things through lying. Yes, first thing you make up your mind that, no, I want to forsake the former ways. But please, take those things to God in prayer. There is no salvation but in God. You will say in prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. Help me. I come confessing and ready to forsake my former manner of life in this regard. Because I want to walk in a manner pleasing to you. Are you getting my point? As you pray that prayer and you repeat those words to yourself, that I'm a righteous man in Christ Jesus, I am not a liar, I am not a cheat, I am not an evildoer, you will find the strength of God poured into your being so that you will be able to do that which is right, even though the opposite might be what is tempting. Listen, it's a path to eternal breakthrough we're discussing, not the path to immediate gratification. I like to say this because you see, sometimes when you look around, it appears as if we preachers, we like to entice people with immediate gratification. Give this offering today, tomorrow your life will change. Listen to me, my brethren. If you want to do what is right, do it. It doesn't beget immediate results. Are you getting my point? Nobody can promise you sudden results. What God wants from us is a continuous lifestyle. But like I always say, eventually. Oh, listen to me. God will never fail anyone that hopefully waits for him. The Bible wouldn't have used the word wait if we did not have to wait. That is, it will appear sometimes as if God is delaying. Please get that point very clear. Do what is right. We are talking about what your future will be, young man. We are talking about what your future will be, young woman. And it is today you are deciding when those days will be. What those days will be. It's not when you get there. I just want to emphasize that before I go. Temptations are real, but the word of God is more real. You need to determine the right to obey God. Do you follow my point? And you need to use the power of prayer and the power of constant confession. That is, to confess evil out of your life. It's very important. And realize that we're not talking about immediate results. You get out to go and start doing what is right. Initially, your business might go down because you have been cheating and getting rapid results. You have been to places and taking money that doesn't belong to you, and you look like you're shining the eyes of your friends who are ignorant. When you make up your mind that, no, I'm not going to do that anymore, the first thing you will experience is a downward turn in your finances. Listen to me. The first thing you will experience is a downward turn in your public appearance. But listen, that's why the Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it appears like I'm going into darkness. He said, I will not fear any evil. Because the Lord is with me. As things appear to be going down, once they seem to be going down because you have learned righteousness, hold on to it. Don't let it go. Because the day of reckoning is coming. Don't ever forget that. The Bible says that the day is coming that shall burn like an oven. So that is the day in which you will distinguish between them that serve God and those that did not serve him. Please bear these points in mind as we go into the last 2 points concerning the 7 attitudes that result in failure. The next thing I want to talk about before we leave, you know, I said then that people who are not trustworthy, those who betray people, especially their friends, it's important. But I want to modify that a bit and talk a bit more widely about that particular context. And that's the issue of unfaithfulness. Now, to continue that, you know, I read the scripture last time. I didn't get there, but let's read it again. And then I'll develop it. Proverbs chapter 28 from verse 20. The Bible says that a faithful man will abound with blessings. Please notice that. A faithful man will abound with blessings. But he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. Now, what are we learning from here? Talking about this matter of faithfulness. The point I'm making here is this. One of the attributes that produce failure in life is lack of faithfulness. Now, I'm going to look at them in different regards. The first one I mentioned before is when people count on you, especially your friends, and you decide that you are going to betray them. Now, I'm not talking about friends as evildoers. All of you say you are going to steal, you decide to go and leak the secret about stealing. That's not what I'm talking about. If you notice something here in this scripture, you will notice that he's describing, he said, a faithful man will abound with blessings. He said, he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. That is, the unfaithfulness is instigated by the eagerness to quickly get something. Do you follow the point I'm making? You and your friends are making plans about something. Maybe an appointment. And then you know that competition is stiff. All of you want to go and apply for a particular job. The day the thing opens, do you follow? Maybe the advert comes out. You know they need only 4 people. Or maybe the chance of them taking many people is very, very slim. So you want to improve your chances. And you refuse to tell your friends. You go and apply alone. So that they will not know. Say, hey, we are still waiting for this application, appointment. You don't see anything. Meanwhile, you know that it is time for application so that they will not compete with you. That is unfaithfulness. Listen, let me say something to you again. All these schemes in life, they are not necessary. You are not Satan. It is Satan that schemes. Are you getting my point? You get information, you quickly hide it from your bosom friends. It's not necessary to scheme. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we should be able to resist the devil's schemes. That is, the devil is the one that is a schemer. Is the one that uses tricks, trying to get something that doesn't belong to him. As a child of God, scheming must never, ever be one of those things that you get involved in. You know what I mean by scheming now? Evil scheming. I always say something, and let me say it to you again. The blessing that is your own cannot be denied you, even though 1 million people are chasing after it. Listen, blessings have names. The Bible says that from there, God commanded the blessings. We're talking about Mount Hermon. He said, life everlasting. Listen,
blessings are commanded. That is, if God speaks to a blessing, you break through a door of opportunity, a door of employment, a door of wealth creation. Go towards Mr. A. That blessing is encapsulated into a spiritual substance. An angel carries it and it goes to the house of that man to deliver it. It does not ever enter into the house of another person. Please get this point clear. The blessing that's your own will come to you. The one that you are running after, if it is not your own, it will elude you. Even though you seem to be getting it physically, the spirit of it will depart from you. One day you wake up, the wealth you thought you had gathered will just vanish because the spiritual substance was never your own. What am I saying? Stop scheming. What is yours will come to you. How should you handle that kind of appointment kind of situation? It's simple. You let all your friends know, oh boys, Tascomo, all of you apply. The one that is yours will come. Look, get that point clear. Listen to me. If you are a schemer, you will eventually fail in life. Let me tell you something you should know. Some of you should get this point very clear. If your friends all know, people around you have a reputation amongst them that you are an undependable person. I am sorry for you. Your life is going in a very, very wrong direction. Now, get my point. I'm not talking about evil people saying that you are not dependable when it comes to stealing. That don't mind him. If you tell him to help him or help us now. Listen, even the people who say those things, when they want honest people, they know you. I'm saying that when people know that you're a selfish person, you know, I've heard things like that. I say, don't mind that person. No, never shares any good thing with anybody. Keeps them to himself. If you have that kind of reputation, be afraid for your future. It's not a good one. Are you getting my point? Listen to me. Faithfulness is very important. Be faithful to people. Be faithful to your friends. Be faithful to your boss. Listen, I'm going to talk about this thing in different regards. That's another issue. If something is committed to you into your hands, don't ever have the reputation that everybody knows that that thing will never be done. I hear it about some people and it makes me very sad. They say, who's doing this job for you? Oh, it's Mr. A. Laugh. Say, he will never do it. He said, look, this man, we know him. Anything you put into his hand to do never gets done. That's a very terrible reputation. Because it is the faithful man that abounds with blessings. Do you get the point I'm trying to make here? Listen, he's talking about this issue of work. A lot of people, when they get to places, they say, okay, this is not my father's business. And this is very, very terrible. I've discovered, I've talked to people who are entrepreneurs. I've talked to other people who are just looking for maybe domestic help. They're looking for people to help them, maybe drivers or anything. One of the things that they always say all the time that is most difficult to find is faithful staff. I mean, there was a young man who told me the other day that somebody actually advised him when he started his company that, listen, make sure you are always 2 months behind in paying your staff. So that is the only way you can guarantee that they will stay with you. Now, that's very bad counsel. Now, it is. But the point is, that's not actually what I'm talking about now. Now, that's bad counsel. If you're an employer, don't listen to that. Pay people on time. Like I said, allow God to bless you. Don't incur a wrath onto your own business because you say that people will not. Look, do what is right and let God take care of the rest. Do you understand my point? But that's not the issue. You see, that man is not the one I'm talking about. It's what led people to have that kind of impression, is what I'm saying. Because they have come to understand, and that's what he was trying to tell that fellow, that you see, once you pay them their salary, they run away. You know that people are counting on you. They are depending on you. You deliberately, do you follow what I'm saying? You deliberately refuse to do what is your responsibility. And you know people are counting on you. Like I always say, if you know you can't do it quickly, resign that job. Know that you run an office for a man. He pays you on the 30th of the month. First, where are you? You have disappeared. Your friends lie for you for the first 2 days. He said, you are not feeling well. Meanwhile, what you are doing is going around taking interviews elsewhere. I know you can't die in that office, but please, there are more honorable ways to live life than that method. A faithful man is the one that the Bible says we are bound with blessings. If you're in a government office, something is committed into your hands, do it. Do you follow what I'm saying? Don't say, how much are they paying me? You are collecting the money, no matter how little it is. You are legally bound, spiritually, to do it. You know, I said something earlier. I'm not saying things which are popular or your flesh you want to agree with. I'm discussing the things that are right. Do you get my point? Who is a man or woman that's planning to fail in life? One that cannot be trusted. You know, we talked about lying before. Now, this is still, the two of them appear very close. But this is actually different from the matter of lying. This is a case in which you don't even have to lie. People just know you can't be trusted to do anything that you're supposed to do.
I know that I found out a lot of people behave like that. They're actually very selfish. And they don't just care about other people. And let me say to you in life, even Confucius, the great Chinese philosopher, said it like this, that the fastest way to go forward in life is to help other people go forward. Now, that is a matter of fact. Life is full. I find it every day. In fact, in the last few days, I've been having discussions with people, hearing stories here and there. I find that people are generally very selfish. And I'm instructing you as a child of God. Please, let goodwill flow out of you towards other people. Even if you don't have money, and you see an opportunity to help somebody else have, allow it. I mean, use that opportunity to bless somebody else. I said that life is in two seasons, basically. Seed time and harvest. All this selfishness and anger with which you are going through life, wanting other people to become poor so that your own failure will not be evident, is the reason why you will never come out of failure. Let me tell you the truth. You don't have to be jealous of anybody. Somebody else is doing well. I like the way the man of God used to say it. He said, there are many stars in the heaven. All of them shine. Somebody else is becoming rich does not mean that you will be poor all your life, or that he won't allow your wealth to become sweet, to be sweet for you to enjoy. Unless you are satanic, you want to outshine your cousin. You are planning to go home in Christmas and buy the biggest jeep that a village has ever seen. Now your cousin has bought the jeep before you, now you can't sleep again. You satanic soul, you can't sleep again. Are you the only one that will be blessed in life? Did Toyota make only that jeep? Only that copy? Any jeep you see in town, they make millions of it. Because you come from a society of poverty-stricken people, doesn't mean that that's the only car in the world. You bought one, and you know there are people that just want everybody else to be poor, so that their little light will be able to shine. But let me tell you what, that is a passport to eternal failure. That's a passport to eternal doom. God hates such people. But who does God love? Who is it that God wants to pour his blessing upon? The man that loves other people and wants them to succeed. The one that will help his friend get a job even when he doesn't have one. The one that will help his friend. Two of you and your friend, you did jump. He has gotten admission. You have not gotten admission. Let me tell you the godly way to live. How to sow sound seeds for your tomorrow. When he's going to school, he says, Uche, you are leaving me. Oh, God bless you with this place you are going. You know, before this admission, because you know we're doing small work, I saved up some money. Here is this 2,000 naira. Let it help you start out on campus. You have not gotten admission. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? The man who's moving up doesn't mean you will always be down. Believe me, if you help him go forward faster, then God will remember you. Please, I'm talking about faithfulness. The faithful man, we are bound with blessings. But the man that cannot be trusted, the man who always changes things, tries to slide other people. You know, have you been to the market? Please, I'm looking for so-and-so shop. Okay, what did you define? The man didn't tell you he's looking for something. He said he's looking for a particular shop. I remember one shop I used to buy things from in Lagos those days. I loved them very much. They sold Christian books. They knew me. I walk in there. Please, I want to buy this book. They say, we don't have. Wait, go down this road. That second shop there, I think they have a stock of it. Go and buy from there. Anytime they don't have something to sell, they just direct me to another shop. You know the way our people would like to do it, they quickly run down. They wait to sit down here. They quickly run down there to go and bring it for you. Quickly put their money on top of it. That is a sign that you're not a blessed man. A man of blessing doesn't behave like that. Trying to scratch out every naira. He cannot be trusted. Anytime I enter the market, they say, oh, God, sit down here. He did for our other shop. I say, only a man who has nothing to do sits down inside the shop. If you don't have, let me go. No, he did for our other shop. I said, listen, if your friend has, just direct me to his shop. God will bring your own customer your way. This satanic way of doing business is the reason why your shop has not increased. You've been there for the last 15 years. Men who were blessed have moved from that public market. They've moved to bigger places. They have opened bigger shops. They are doing bigger businesses. You are still scheming for the 200 naira you will get by keeping the customer waiting. It is not necessary. It is the faithful man that we are bound with blessing. I don't want this message to keep on going for a very long time. Let me quickly add the last thing to it so that we can summarize everything and go. The last one of it that I want to talk about is the matter of anger and bitterness. Especially bitterness. Resenting other people because you think they have hurt you in the past. We've discussed this one before.
But let me quickly review it as the last of our points on the seven attributes that produce failure, so that you will be careful to avoid you blessed man. You will be careful to avoid it, you blessed woman. These are the things that we do and hinder the hand of God from blessing us. God said, my hand is not shortened that I cannot deliver. Let me put modern words to it. My hand is not shortened that I cannot bring you out of poverty into prosperity. My hand is not shortened that I cannot help you get a good job or get your admission or help your company get started. He said, it's your iniquity that has separated you from where my blessing abides. It's a bad way you've been doing things that's not allowing me to reach forth into your life with my blessing. And here am I today speaking to you. Avoid these things and you are opening the door for breakthrough into your life. Let's quickly read this scripture as I close it. The book of Mark chapter 11. He said, have faith in God, Jesus was saying. So let us say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. He said, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, now notice this, he's talking about when you are praying, he now said, but when you start praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is also in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. This is what he was saying. If your Father doesn't forgive you your transgressions, then the ability to pray effectively is hindered. But if you are holding things in your heart against people, then God is unable to forgive you your transgressions. Do you follow the point I'm making? Therefore, he said, when you approach God, therefore, let anger and bitterness be not in your heart. Let forgiveness go towards other people. And like somebody explained to me once, and I think I've taught it on this broadcast before, said the reason why you are angry is because people disappointed you. And the reason why they disappointed you is because you put your hope, your trust in them. And God is saying, if you want me to bless you, it's a matter of prayer now. Because in life, you need God's blessings. You need God's blessings. In life, nobody succeeds without being, in quote now, lucky. That is, God's blessing engineers luck in your direction. Suddenly, you're in the right place at the right time. You need it. Listen, when you are going to, oh God, I wish you would go and pray like Jabez. It's a book I read many years ago, The Prayer of Jabez. Beautiful book. Go and read it. If you pray like Jabez, God, oh, that you will bless me indeed. I pray that you will go home and kneel down and honestly look up to God. And don't let me say it again, don't let any false prophet tell you your problem is your neighbor. Your problem is another woman who is jealous of you. Okay, let us assume it is the other woman who is jealous of me that's my problem. You are the prophet. Pray now and break her power. Why are you making me angry with other people? The Bible says my warfare is not against flesh and blood. Let me say to you, anybody that's pointing to people and say, I have prayed in the vision, I saw this person doing evil against you in his heart. That's why you are not succeeding. Tell you are a false prophet, you are a paralyzed prophet. That go and look through the scriptures when Jesus was going to help people. Which one of them did he identify the source of their problems apart from the sin in their lives? He said, go and sin no more, that the worst problem will not come upon you. They asked him, who sinned that this man should be born blind? I said, why are we discussing that? But let the glory of God be revealed in his life. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. If indeed you have power as a prophet, you can see visions, you can cast away the evil forces. You want me to go and start fighting my enemy, a human being, when the Bible says my warfare is not against flesh and blood. I don't have time to be worrying about people. I only have time to think about my relationship with my God. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Listen, don't let anybody fool you. If you're a child of God, there's no human enemy that's strong enough using all the powers of hell. None of them is strong enough to be able to assail you and overcome you. I say it all the time, let me say it again. The only problem is the relationship between you and your God. If they can't break it, and all these false prophets, that's what they are trying to do. They take your eyes away. Like Eli who said, instead of you shouting, where is God my maker? You start crying out because of the hand of the oppressor. Do you get my point? Listen, forget people. Don't be angry with them. They are not the reason why you're not succeeding. So the reason why my son doesn't understand anything in school is because the second wife of my husband is jealous. Around nonsense. The problem is that you don't pray for your child. The problem is that you don't have time for your child. The problem is that you yourself, there is evil in your heart and it's manifesting in the problem in the life of your children. Forget your rival wife. Forget your stepmother. Forget your uncle or your cousin. They are not your problem. If God blesses you, you will be blessed in life. Let faithfulness take hold of your heart. The Bible says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. And God will give you the desires of your heart. I hope you've gotten my points. Seven things you must avoid, and your life is on the path towards greatness.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.